us to think about these verses we read today. I want us also to think about, as we continue our study here, of the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that we thank you that you are a great and awesome God. Our hearts bow down before you. We thank you for the beauty of that which you have created all around us, all the colors of October. Father, lift our hearts to you this day. I take the promise of your Spirit to fill me. Give me the words to say. Father, speak to our hearts. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We do have that.
I don't think they have your PowerPoint. So did you get the PowerPoint?
Yeah, I sent it to... I emailed it.
To Tony?
Yeah, to Tony. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. As we look at the Lord's Prayer today, I want you to think about this, lifting up your eyes and see. As you drive around this month of October, lift up your eyes and see all the colors. And as we come to God in prayer, we lift up our eyes and see. I want to remind you, first of all, that the Lord's Prayer was teaching disciples prayer. Remember his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so he gave them this prayer to teach us how to pray. It's a model prayer. I gave you a little pocket Lord's Prayer. It's a pocket prayer you can carry with you. It's a prayer that we can give to God. And then we saw that in this prayer, God is first. It's not me first. God is first. It's a relationship. You know, I saw this picture. I thought this was pretty good. As far as what a relationship, the difference between a relationship and a religion. All right? A religion is a guy in church thinking about fishing. That's a religion. Someone who's in church, their mind is way off, they're thinking about fishing. That's a religion. A relationship is a guy out fishing thinking about God. Whatever we do, whether we're fishing or whatever we're doing, because we have a relationship with God, we're thinking about God. That's a relationship. You see the difference between a religion and a relationship, and that's what this prayer is. We saw that last time. As we begin approaching God in prayer, we saw the name when Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, when those began to call upon the God, call upon the name of the Lord, they called him Yahweh. The Hebrew word for God, Yahweh, or we say sometimes Jehovah, Jehovah God. And then we see how Abraham, God appeared unto him as the Almighty God, and to Job as the Almighty God. And he called upon him as the Almighty God. And then in this prayer, Matthew chapter 6, we found out our Father in heaven. He is our Heavenly Father. And then we also found that he wants us to have a close relationship with him. Just as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Abba, Father, our heavenly Baba, our Dad, that close relationship we have through Jesus Christ. But this time I want us to take a look at God is holy. And we have, it's interesting how everything comes together. Our young people, and we appreciate so much our young people, and we want to pray for them and the leaders that work with the young people. And in our study on Friday night, our first week, we had the who is God? We talked about who is God. And then this past Friday, God is holy is a topic. And how that goes right along with this prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You are holy. You are holy means to be set apart. God is holy. We talked about in our small groups, what does that mean to be set apart? And I was with the middle school boys. I love those boys. And we were with them and they were saying, you know, there's certain things in our house we don't touch. That's set apart. There's a painting. We don't touch that. That's set apart. And God wants us to set Him apart in our lives. He wants us to exalt Him and lift Him up in our lives and in our heart. He is set apart. That's what holy means. He is set apart. And that's what God wants us to do. Set Him apart. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Holy is Your name. God's name is set apart. It's kind of like the word, we see something that's, thank you very much. The word that a lot of young people like to use is the word awesome. I didn't grow up with that word, but that's a wonderful word. Awesome. It's awe-inspiring. It's wow. You don't know what else to say. It's wow. It's awesome. Now, I was born and grew up in northwest Pennsylvania, about 50 miles from Erie, Lake Erie. Not far from there is Niagara Falls. And as we think about how awesome God is, and we're going to think about our focus, how that helps us to focus in our prayers. So we think about what is our focus, but I want to show you this picture. I don't know, have any of you ever been to Niagara Falls? Ah, a few of you have been there. I've been there several times because it was not too far from where I grew up. If I were to take you on a trip to Niagara Falls, some of you have been there, some of you haven't been there. There are three things I want to... First of all, you look at that falls and it... Wow! It is so beautiful. And not only is it beautiful, but at night... I don't know how well you can see that, but at night they put lights on the falls. And even at night, it's beautiful. And then when you get close to that falls, especially when there's a wind, you can feel the mist coming off from the falls. And then the other thing that amazes me about the Niagara Falls is the roar. The sound of that water coming over, the roar of the sound of the Niagara Falls. Just get a glimpse of Niagara Falls. Then I want you to think about if we could take a trip to heaven and see the throne of God. Now I know the Bible mentions that there are three men who saw the throne of God. And two of them we read today in our scripture, Isaiah and John, saw the throne of God. If you were to look up at the throne of God, if we could go and visit heaven. Now I know sometimes we wish we could go visit our family members that are there. I should say this, that today is my mother's birthday. She would have been 80 years old today. I wish I could visit her today. But if I went there to visit her, I probably wouldn't come back. God has us here for a purpose. But if we could look up at heaven, as Isaiah describes it here, the throne of God, if we could take a look at that and see a glimpse of what that looks like. As we read here the description, as he speaks here of the throne, imagine that you're allowed to take a trip to heaven to spend a day around God's throne. What would you see? Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. and exalted, and seated on a throne. He heard the seraphim saying, those created beings who praise God, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." We know the Holy Father, the Holy Son, the Holy Spirit. As they, the roar, the sound of that praising to God. I don't know how many of you ever heard Handel's Messiah. I just love the music of Handel's Messiah. Every time I hear that, they come to the chorus of Handel's Messiah. Everybody stands and you feel like you're being lifted up into heaven as you hear the praise from that. If we could see God's throne, yes, He's our Heavenly Father. Yes, He is Abba Father, but He is high and lifted up, and He is on His throne. He is holy, holy, holy. And then John, as John looked upon the throne of God, John said this. He heard the seraphim saying, "Holy, holy, holy, the throne of heaven." John said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Holy, holy, holy. We need to set God apart. He is on the throne. We need to exalt Him. And so, that helps us with our focus. You see, when we come to God in prayer, what happens? Many times, all we can see, our focus is on our problems. The only thing we can see is how big our problems are. We see maybe our financial problems. Maybe unemployment. We don't have a job. We have debts. We have poverty around us. Or we see our physical problems. Sickness, suffering, death, again, that's around us. Or we see emotional problems, sadness, depression, despair around us. Or we see spiritual problems of sin and evil and wickedness. And so our eyes are on these problems around us, and they seem so big. But when we come to God in prayer, we need to lift up our eyes and look up and see God who is exalted, and see how big our God is. And God is above all, even our problems. So I want you to think about today, as we come to God in prayer, lift up our eyes. Lift up our eyes and see Him. First of all, Noah or Yahweh. Noah. Sometimes our problems seem so big that we would say, "No way." We throw up, we just kind of give up. No way. But we need to look up and see Yahweh. God has a way. Yahweh, that's His name. Yahweh, Jehovah God. And so we often think no way, we should think Yahweh. Instead of seeing our weakness, we need to lift up our eyes and see God's greatness. Yes, I am weak, but He is strong and powerful. And so first I acknowledge God's greatness, and then I praise Him, and I give thanks for God's strength and power. Just like the words of the hymns book, I like to read these hymns. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Let me give you an example of this. Paul's weakness. Isaiah had a revelation of God's throne. John had a revelation, but Paul also did. If you look in your Bibles and 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul had a vision and a revelation just like Isaiah and John, verses 1 to 4. He speaks about these revelations that God gave to him. He did not brag about them. He did not boast about it. In fact, he goes on to say that he also had a problem. You see, he had a thorn in the flesh. And so we see the words of this verse here. I'd like you to read these words with me. Set this together. 1 Corinthians 12:9-10. But God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So many of our English idioms come from the Bible. This thorn in the flesh is also an English idiom. And you may not know where it comes from, but it comes from here. Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh. We do not know for sure what this affliction might be. Some say that Paul had bad eyes. We don't know for sure. You know, it could be an ailment. And I think God purposely doesn't tell us because it could suit any of us. Because we all have ailments. Or it could be a circumstance, a thorn in the flesh. It could be an antagonist. Someone who kind of is a thorn in the flesh. It's at work or whatever. Or something that God allows to keep us humble and to be dependent upon God. That thorn in the flesh. You know, I was interesting here. Paul prayed 3 times that God would remove this thorn in the flesh. Praise God. Sometimes it's His will to remove the thorn in the flesh. Let me tell you, a year ago, my wife had breast cancer. She went in for surgery. And praise God, that surgery went well and they were able to remove that thorn in her flesh. And then a few months later, this past January, she had to have surgery again to remove one of her parathyroids. Did I say that right? And praise God, that went well. And that was removed. And sometimes God in His grace removes that thorn in the flesh. So in 6 months' time, God removed 2 thorns in her flesh. To God be the glory. And there are other times that we have a thorn in the flesh that God allows that to be part of our lives, that He might show His strength to us. I'm diabetic. I have to wear an insulin pump. And it's literally a thorn in the flesh. There's a needle that goes in there. It's a thorn in the flesh. And I have to learn to live with it by God's grace. And that's what Paul, he had to learn to live with his thorn in the flesh. Now there's a young man. See, God wants to show us His power. There's a young man that many of you may be heard of. Nick is his name. I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce his last name correct. Vujicic. I'm not sure. He's from Australia. And can you imagine getting through your busy day without hands or legs? Can you picture your life without the ability to walk, to care for your basic needs, or even embrace those you love? You see, Nick here, without any medical explanation or warning, he was born in 1982 in Australia without arms and without legs. This Friday at our young people's meeting, we're going to take a short look at his video of his life story and his testimony. So I want to encourage you young people to come and see that. It's amazing. You see, his early days were difficult. Throughout his childhood, Nick could only deal with the typical challenges of school and adolescence, but he also struggled with depression and loneliness. Yet, he is an author, he's written books, he is a musician, he plays music, he's an actor, and his hobbies include fishing, painting, and swimming. He has a thorn in the flesh, but it doesn't stop him. He goes around the world speaking and giving his testimony. God may remove that thorn in the flesh. If that's His glory, that's His will. But God may allow that thorn in the flesh to be with us to also show us His strength and His power. So young people, I hope you come. Life without limits. That's the story of Nick. No limbs, but a life without limits. How many times we let little things stop us? But I always think of Nick. A life without limits. No way or Yahweh. And then I want you to think about bad or good. And oftentimes we think of bad or good. We think about how bad it is when we should think about how good God is. You know, we are really in good hands. We may think about how bad our situation is, but we need to lift up our eyes and see God's goodness. It is bad, but He is good. Look around the world around us. We often see what's bad, but we need to lift up our eyes and see that God is good. And we need to acknowledge that. We need to praise that. Thank God for His goodness. Now, I want you to think about this situation here, Joseph. One of my favorite characters in the Bible. Joseph, you talk about a bad situation. Joseph's brothers hated him. And in their eyes, they thought they were justified in hating him because of his dreams, because of the special favor their father gave by giving him a coat of many colors. But they hated him so much, they sold him as a slave to Egypt. So it not only was bad, but it got worse. And then he was purchased by a Potiphar, who became his boss, and he worked hard for his boss. He was promoted because of that. But then, his boss's wife, she was an evil woman. And she continually tempted him to do what was wrong. He said, I cannot sin against God. I cannot sin against my boss by doing this. And then she lied about his integrity. She falsely accused him of doing that which is wrong. And then he was put in prison. I mean, it was bad. It was worse. I guess the English word we have next is worst. He was in prison. I mean, his situation had gotten worse. And so, while he was in prison, the Bible tells us that God was with him. God was with him. You know, he saw the goodness of God. Joseph finally interpreted a dream of two men in prison. There were those who worked for the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And finally, one of them was restored, but it was still a couple years later. Joseph had to wait. And then Pharaoh had a dream that nobody could tell. And so his butler said, oh yeah, I remember in prison there was someone there who helped me interpret my dream. You should ask Joseph to come and interpret your dream. And so Joseph did that. And after interpreting the dream of Pharaoh, he told Pharaoh, gave him wise advice, you need to set aside during the 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of famine that are to come. And Pharaoh said, well, who can I make my prime minister? Who can I make? Who can do this job? And Pharaoh made Joseph the second in command. You see, his family, his brothers had to come to Egypt begging for food. And his dreams came to pass. And so, Joseph said these words to his brothers. Joseph acknowledged, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph did not become bitter because of all his bad circumstances. But he acknowledged God and he thanked God that God meant it for good. He lifted up his eyes so he no longer saw his troubles and his problems. He lifted up his eyes and he saw God. Sinful or merciful? Yes, God is holy. He is set apart from all evil and sin because He wants us to know that He is perfect. And oftentimes, we see how sinful I am, or we see the sin and the evil around us. And we should also lift up our eyes and see not only God is holy, but that He is merciful and loving. God is holy, loving, and merciful. So instead of seeing our sin, which we must acknowledge, we lift up our eyes and see God's holiness and mercy. One of the best stories that tells us this is a story that Jesus told. The story of the prodigal. The son's sinfulness. He begged his father to give him his inheritance. As a young man, he thought he knew it all. He took that inheritance and he wasted it in wild living style. He wasted his life in sin and a downward spiral that led him to the only job he could find, feeding pigs. Can you imagine feeding pigs? But God used that to waken him up. As he was feeding the pigs, he began to think about, even my father's servants are treated better than this. And I must go back to my father and tell him how wrong I was, how sinful I was, and ask for the father's forgiveness. And I'm not worthy to be his son, but if he could only let me be his servant. And so you remember how the son went back to the father. And as the son went back to the father, we read these words about the father's love and mercy. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And so we see God's mercy and God's love as well as God's holiness. I want to share, as we think about this, I want to share a few words of Max Lucado. He's talking about how good God is. As I boarded a plane last week, the pilot called my name. He was standing in the cockpit entrance. He greeted passengers. "Well, hello, Max." I looked up. It was my friend Joe, my old friend. He is the Methuselah of the airlines. All right, Methuselah, if you don't remember, is the oldest man in the Bible. He's been flying forever. He flew transports in Vietnam, and he's logged a bookful of hours as a commercial pilot. He's faced every flight crisis from electrical storms to empty fuel tanks. And he is a good pilot. And he is a friend, a good friend. He's not my neighbor, but if he were, our property values would increase. If I were in the hospital, he'd keep a bedside vigil. He would come and visit me in the hospital. If I were on vacation, he'd keep my dog. If I offended him, he'd keep his cool until he could talk it through. If he could do no more, he could do no more tell a lie than a mosquito could sing the national anthem. I don't know. No one has ever heard the mosquito sing the national anthem. All right. He never swears, gets drunk, cheats, or swindles. He is that good. He is good. Good in his skill and good in heart. We chatted for a few minutes, and then I went to my seat, and with a sense of assurance, what could I request? I thought, the pilot is experienced and proven, and even though he is my tried and true friend, I am in good hands. The knowledge came in handy. An hour into the flight, we hit a wall of winds. People gasped. Dentures rattled. The attendant told us to check our seatbelts and to pray. I've had smoother roller coaster rides. Now, I know some of you have been on airplanes. Maybe you've experienced this rough type of a ride he's talking about. Unlike the other passengers, however, I stayed calm. I didn't have a death wish, but I had an advantage. I knew the pilot. I knew Joe. I knew his heart, and I trusted his skill. Joe can handle this, I told myself. The storm was bad, but the pilot was good. So much so, as one can relax in a windstorm, I did. And so they landed, and he thanked his friend. But you know, it's a stormy world out there. Every day brings all kinds of turbulence. The question during these troubling times is this: do you have a good pilot? And the response of the Bible is yes. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is holy. Yes, God is merciful. And yes, God is great. So I want you to think about this today. When we come to prayer, what is our focus? All we can see are the problems around us, or can we lift up our eyes and see God? You see, prayer changes our focus. Prayer changes our focus from our big problems to our big God. What is it you see when you come to God in prayer? If you keep your eyes down, all you can see is the problems around you. But we need to be reminded. Prayer reminds us that the size of our problems is nothing compared to the size of our God. Let's bow in prayer. Every head bowed, every eye is closed. I don't know what you're going through right now. You may be going through a big storm. Some big problems. And it's hard to, that's all you can see right now, the problems you're in, the storm you're in. But I want to encourage you right now in prayer, lift up your eyes and see God. He is high, He is exalted, and He is above all our problems. Lift up your eyes and see Yahweh. Lift up your eyes and see the God who loves us and is merciful. Lift up your eyes and see the God who is good. Oh, Father in heaven, we come to You. Whatever problem we're facing, whatever difficulty we are in the middle of, Lord, our problem is not bigger than You. We thank You that You are bigger than our problems. So, Lord, today, right now, help us to lift up our eyes and to see You. Oh God, You're Yahweh. You are the high and exalted. You are the awesome God. You are holy, holy, holy. And You are good and You are merciful. Oh God, we thank You. And in prayer, we lift up our eyes to see You. In Jesus' name, amen.
感谢主，让我们能够有机会在一起赞美敬拜神，这是何等的喜乐跟宝贵啊！我们看到周围的环境，这个是一个收获的季节，秋天收获的季节，也是一个感恩的季节啊！我们感谢主，让我们都能够来到他的面前。我们看到啊，有几位也回到我们当中哈，连珠姐妹回到我们当中，还有刚早上那个 C 面在我们当中，还有 Jessica。回到我们当中，我们感谢主，让我们能够一起来赞美敬拜神。我们一起低头祷告。恩主，我们实在是感谢你，主让我们能够在这边，主在你的家中能够一起的唱诗，一起的祷告，一起的赞美你的时候，主这是何等喜乐的时刻。主让我们能够宝贵这段时间，让我们来到这复活主的面前的时候，让我们能够从心里面能够唱出你是那位复活的主，我们要感恩，我们要赞美敬拜主，就求你今天赐下主你自己的话语来滋润众弟兄姐妹们的心，说的听的都能够一起得蒙主你自己的祝福。祷告赞美都是奉靠主耶稣基督的圣名，阿们。好，我们继续思考今年我们的主题，就是在提摩太前书第三章的地方，我们有一段的时间，我们就是在一起的思考神在这边所说，借着使徒保罗跟提摩太的书信里面，让我们也能够稍微了解神他在他的家中如何的经营，如何的能够做那管理的工作。那我们已经读了很多，那今天我要把第三章，就是特别是前面第一节到十三节，讲到这监督跟这执事，他们为什么在教会里面，我们为什么需要这些神的工人们在这边能够帮他一起的在这边经营，或者是在这边管制神的家，或者你有一些问题，你会先问一下，就是说为什么神要在神家中要兴起这些神的工人，或者是说你说带领的，或者是说执事同工长老们。第二个问题就是神为什么有这么多的在神家中有这么多的执事，英文是 ministry， 为什么这么多执事哈？有些教会大一点的话，还有一些什么特别的执事给那些安慰那些痛苦伤心的人的执事，或者是给小朋友的执事，或者是其他各样的执事。为什么神不能自己来做这些，他需要这些同工们，我们一起的
就是能够跟他一起的服侍。好，我们看一下就是刚刚已经读过的这个经文。我们知道提摩太这时候他是在以弗所教会，那以弗所教会曾经是一个很兴旺的教会，保罗他开始了这个教会，他也在那边待了3年的时间。有一段时间他要离开的时候，他也是就是依依不舍的，就是跟这些长老们就是告别。但是5年时间过去，他离开这5年的时间，这教会的光景跟以前又不一样，所以保罗就把提摩太他留下来这个同工，就是跟他一些有一些鼓励。那我们看到这段经文的时候，以弗所今天我们一起读的经文里面，我们可以看到就是他这边特别提到他所赐的有使徒、有先知、有传福音的、有牧师和教师开始。所以我们一起来思考，就是为什么他从这边开始要特别提到这些好像是神所设立的这些仆人们，他怎么不先说一些其他的事情呢？他先提到这些，他所赐的有使徒、先知、有传福音的、有牧师和教师等等等，从这边开始。那我们就是要回溯到就是对当初的光景，如果一切神跟人的关系是和睦的，人跟神的关系没有间隔的话，没有罪的话，我相信今天神的治理的方式又不一样。但是我们知道，我们要归溯到一直到亚当跟夏娃的时候，那个时候我们知道罪就来到这世上，而且造成了一些黑暗跟混乱的情形，所以这神跟人的关系好像就有一个间隔。所以在这边我们看到，就是从那边开始以后，神如何能够治理他的百姓，或者是带领这一批属神的人。那很多时候我们就想想，神他从呼召就是亚伯拉罕开始，一直到我们看到神借着摩西把他的百姓要从以色列人从埃及的地方带出来，我们看到这许多神他的带领的工作的时候，我们会惊讶神他有这样的一个恩典，他有这样的一个计划在神的百姓当中。神他把他百姓召出来，他有特别他的旨意，他要这批的百姓是成为圣洁的国民，也是一个祭司能够献上祭。所以我们看到在这将近200万的这些人在旷野里面，我相信这是一个很需要有秩序的一个教会啊，一些秩序的一群人，不然的话整个是一个混乱的。吃住哇，这都是一个很大的事情，是不是？我们如果出去露营还是什么的时候，我们是不是东西我们都需要安排的好，安排的妥当。在旷野的时候，有一次摩西的岳父来找他，那这个摩西的时候，我们看一下，就是当初有很多，我们刚刚提到就是众男丁就有就50万人，所以加上家属，哇，几乎可能是有将近200万左右的人。那这批人有碰到一些事情的时候，他怎么办呢？他们就来到摩西的面前，哇，所以从早到晚，摩西实在是应接不暇哈，就是有这么多人要来询问他的这些判断，或者是带领，或者是有一些教导。所以摩西的岳父看到这种情形不对了，这摩西他可能就是每一天就是要经过这么多的事情，所以他有一个建议。他建议的什么呢？他建议就说，哦，你可以从百姓当中拣选有才能的人，是敬畏神、诚实无妄、恨不义之财的人，三个条件哈。第一个是有才能的、敬畏神的，或者是诚实无妄、恨不义之财的，应该说四个条件。派他们做什么？做千夫长、百夫长、50夫长、10夫长，管理百姓。 所以那个时候我们就看到有一个管理的次序已经开始了，管理的次序开始了。所以我们那个时候我们看到摩西他可以带领这么多人啊，出了埃及的时候在旷野里面他们是有一个次序的，有次序的，甚至他们就是啊，在这巴兰他被这巴勒王就是买就是好像给他一些贿赂要咒诅神的百姓的时候，这个巴兰他看到以色列他们是有次序的，从山上往下看帐篷就是有次序的，帐篷在中间，他实在是咒诅不下。所以我们看到就是那个时候神他在旧约里面的指示就是 ministry， 神怎么管理。后来我们知道到了四世纪的时候，如果我们继续看旧约圣经的时候，在士师的时代里面，耶和华为他们兴起的这些士师 judges， 那他也与士师们同在，士师在世的一切日子耶和华拯救他们脱离仇敌的手。但是我们看到以色列 百姓他们还是去拜偶像，他们还是去就是做一些不讨神喜悦的。所以我们看到就是那个时候士师是有神的同在，包括我们读的就是这些基甸啊或者是参孙啊，这些全都是士师神所兴起的士师。所以这士师的世代而且一个接一个神也是把他们兴起。后来我们再往下看的时候还有一个列王的时期，我们看到在撒母耳上的时候，我们知道百姓跟撒母耳说我们要立王，我们要跟其他的那些就是旁边的这些好像民族他们都有他们自己王，为什么我们没有呢？所以我们看到就是撒母耳他心里也很难过，然后就来到神的面前。那是耶和华怎么跟他说呢？我们看一下，百姓向你说的一切话你只管离从，因他们不是厌弃你乃是厌弃我，不要我做他们的王。自从我领他们出埃及到如今，他们常常离弃我侍奉别神，现在他们向你所行的是照他们素来所行的，故此你要依从他们的话，只是当警戒他们，告诉他们将来那王怎样管辖他们。所以我们知道这第一个王是谁，是扫罗王哈。那扫罗王开始的时候我们看也是看他也很好，但是后来的时候我们看到就是他越来越不像话了啊。那我们看到就是神也离弃了他，也后悔，就是有这样的力的这种，神怎么会后悔神他是不会后悔的，怎么会做后悔的事。所以我们看到列王的时候就是那个时候的光景。当然我们也看到有一些神合神心意的，有大卫，后来是有所罗门王，但是以后我们又看到就是很多的王被兴起，很多都是不是讨得神喜悦的。所以我们看到这就是在旧约里面神的指示，旧约里面神的指示这样一代一代的传下来，从摩西的时期神他怎么治理管理百姓，到士师的世代，一直到列王的时期，这样一直下来。但是我们看到好像这边没有一个特别就是一个完全合神心意的王。但是我们到了新约的时候，我们看到这位主耶稣神的儿子他来了，他乃是那位君王，他是我们可以在这边我们可以侍奉敬拜他的主，他是那位做宝座的神。那在新约的指示里面，神又怎么如何能够在他的家中能够兴起，能够做这些管理的工作呢？我们知道在新约里面主耶稣来的时候，我们看他知道他在地上的指示有三年多的时间，我们看到他就是为众人的罪就是挂在十架上，死在十架上为我们舍身流血，是我们都知道的。那这时候我们看到神的家开始了神的家。那这边以弗所书二章二十节的时候，我们就可以看到就是这边开始 神的家是建造在使徒和先知的根基上。先知是在旧约里面，先知在旧约里面，他预表神他要来。那在新约的时候，我们看到耶稣他也拣选了十二个门徒来为他就是继续他的指示。所以我们看到耶稣上了十字架以后，他复活升天以后，这些门徒们就到处去传了福音。而且这福音我们从使徒行传看到，这福音传出去有好多人的信主，特别是在五旬节以后，圣灵降下以后，我们看到这福音整个传开。有一次彼得他上去讲道的时候，有3000多人愿意领受这福音，3000多人愿意受浸。所以我们看到一下子人数的增多，而且我们还看到许许多多的地方，使徒行传不止第二章、第四章、第五章、第六章、第九章，还有到11章、14章、16章，这边好多地方可以看到，就是说人数就增加，信主人就增加，他们信心就加增，好多的事情就是发生在这耶路撒冷的地方。所以我们看到那个时候神他是兴起来的，照管教会的是使徒和先知啊，从先知的预言到使徒。那使徒以后呢，使徒慢慢的也要训练的，训练就是这些跟他的同工。所以我们可以看到，就是在使徒行传，特别是在第六章第三节的时候，他这边特别讲到，就是所以弟兄们，当从你们中间选出7位有好名声、被圣灵充满、智慧充足的人。我们比一下，刚刚就是在旧约摩西时代的，现在是有特别有另外一件事情，就是被圣灵充满。我们知道这件事情是在五旬节以后，圣灵已经降临，所以这边不只是有知识、有才干，还是就是说有智慧，还有特别很重要，就是要被圣灵充满的。所以我们看到这七位被选出来，他们在干什么？他们在治理教会，其实他们在管理膳食，在膳食服侍上面。可能很多人就是没有拿到这膳食的事情，所以膳食怎么分配都是一件很大的事情。所以神的家中，我们那时候看到好像那时候没有什么特别的称呼，只是给他们说是一个 servant， 他只是一个服侍的人而已，也没有说他们就是老师或者是管膳食的 manager， 对吧？好像没有什么 title 那个时候。但是慢慢的我们看到这些事情以后，我们知道里面其中有一位司提反也被选出来。那司提反他也是被圣灵充满的，他在管膳食，但是后来我们知道他是被他是选到了，他是选到了，就是其中一个服侍的。那我们看新约的执事到了这个时候以弗所的时候，借着使徒保罗，他跟提摩太他有怎么样的一个劝勉。我们看到提摩太前书的时候，前面他一直提到就是要警告防备假的教师，然后也特别提到就是敬拜的教训，然后一直到了中间他才提到有监督有执事的事情啊，特别提到就是说人要想得监督的职分，就是羡慕上工等等等，讲到很多。但是到了第五节的地方，特别他提到就是说提摩太前书第三章第五节，他说人若不知道管理自己的家，焉能照管神的教会呢？照管神的教会先要照管自己的家。感谢主，让我们能够在神的家中，我们享受这许多的弟兄们他们的服侍，不管在各方面在讲台或者是在主日学教导，或者是在探望各方面的服侍方面，厨房这些都很重要的。我们感谢主，就是在Fall Picking 的时候，我们看到有许多人许多的客人来到我们当中，他们听到就是我们有这样的一个Picking 的时候，他们也愿意来参加。这求主也是继续让我们能够有这样的有一个次序在神的家中。提摩太前书提多书一章五 节后半段到第六章的前半段，他又说，我又照我所吩咐你的，在各城设立长老，若有无可指责的。所以我们看到这边也有长老，也有长老，好像这边开始就有一些职分的头衔，前面好像只有说服事的人七位，他们被选出来，只是被圣灵充满，只是就是说他们能够有才干，能够在这些服事上面。但是现在好像就是有一些职分的就是名称。然后我们可以看到，就是他们在这边服侍神的百姓，服侍这些神所拣选的这些百姓。提摩太前书三章八节也讲到，做执事的也应该如此，有许多的条件，有许多的资格，讲到必须端庄，不一口两舌等等等很多的事情，甚至也提到有女执事的事情。所以我们看到这边好像教会需要有这些人来服侍，在新约的指示里面，在神的家中里面。我们服侍许多年，我们是不是这个服侍是停在我们当中呢？还有将来要服侍的。提摩太后书二章一到二节，这边提摩太领受到第二个书信的时候，保罗怎么说？他说，我啊，你要在基督耶稣的恩典上刚强起来，你在许多见证人面前听见我所教训的，也要交托那忠心能教导人的人。哇，好像这边有好多你要教导那些别人能够教导别人的人，所以这边有讲到好几代。我们感谢主，这些神的事工，神的在这边照管教会，也需要就是传递下去。所以我们看到这是一个新约指示的一个结构，让我们学习到神他在神的家中，特别是要有圣灵充满，因为圣灵是宝贵师、训诲师，他会教导我们如何明白神的话语。好，那我们既然知道在旧约在新约里面神的指示以后，那我们看到神他要我们这些就是服侍人有些什么服侍的内容是什么？服侍的内容是什么？我们刚刚特别提到，就是有一些假教师或者是错误的教训，所以第一个我们看到就是要负责要纠正这道德的不洁，或者是这些不合神心意的事情。哥林多前书五章一到五节跟九到十一节特别讲到，就是教会里面有一些淫乱的事情啊，或者是一些拜偶像的事情，一些不合神心意的事情，这些服侍的弟兄需要负责纠正道德的不洁，在教会里面没有这些事情应该是存在的，所以应该负责这些事情的教导跟纠正。还有呢，我们上次也看到，就是要彰显神在教会里面的次序，崇拜里面都有次序，我们是不是？我们就是每一周我们都是有许多崇拜的次序，我们受浸的时候有受浸的次序，我们拨饼的时候有拨饼的次序，我们平常主日有平常主日的次序，这些都是要平常都是我们都要在这边有一个次序。哥林多前书十四章二十六到三十五，这边特别又讲到如果有人讲方言的话也要翻出来，就是整个教会要次序，不是讲那些别人听不懂的，而是要讲就是能够造就神身体的。所以这边就是神他怎么样眷顾他自己的百姓，神怎么样在神的家中他如何做治理的工作。提摩太前书一章三到四节特别讲到，就是有这些异端或者是这些异教，所以这些使徒保罗也特别提到，就是这些是要拒绝的，这些是要拒绝的。所以我们如果看到第三第四节一开始书信的时候，他已经讲到，就是说不可听从荒谬无凭的话语，在无穷的家谱这等事只生辩论，并不发明神在信上所立的章程。所以这是一个很重要，服侍神的人在神家中的服侍，这边不只是纠正道德的不洁，维持崇拜的次序，还有我们这边看到就是也要拒绝这些错误的教导，或者是甚至这些无凭荒谬无凭的话，或者是只是追溯那些家谱，特别是犹太教。所以 所以这是服事的内容。还有什么我们要学习从这些服事的？什么是服事的态度？还有一个奖赏。服事的态度还有一个奖赏。服事的态度是一个很重要的。很多时候我们觉得说，哎呀，我们就是不得不或者是我们就是被推选上来，其实神他看的是一个甘心乐意的心。彼得前书五章二到三节，他们这边彼得特别讲到，就是务要牧养在你们中间神的羊群，按着神的旨意照管他们，不是出于勉强，乃是出于甘心，也不是因为贪财，乃是出于乐意，也不是辖制所托付你们的，乃是做群羊的榜样。所以我们看到这些甘心乐意是神所喜悦的，而且是一个榜样，榜样也是神所喜悦的。所以我们看到这些态度是一个甘心乐意，而且另外一个态度是什么呢？是要会负责任的。希伯来书十三章十七节这边怎么说？你们要依从那些引导你们的，且要顺服，因为他们为你们的灵魂时刻警醒，好像那将来交账的人。你们要使他们交的时候有快乐，不致忧愁，若忧愁就与你们无益了。交账，这边有一个交账，知道交账的意思哈？这个负责，这边就是要交账。那我们都将来都要到神的面前要交账，要交账了。所以那我们要使交的人能够有快乐，交的时候有快乐，不致忧愁，若忧愁就与你们无益了。神的事工是一直传下去的，神他有他特别的旨意，在我们这边的聚会，在堪城其他的聚会，或者是在其他城市所设立的聚会，都有他特别的旨意。所以第一个是甘心乐意，第二个是我们要负起这责任。我们这样的服事是不是有一个果效呢？或者是有将来有一个奖赏呢？是的，有的，有一个冠冕。这个冠冕是不衰残的冠冕，不衰残的冠冕。彼得前书五章四节说，到了牧长显现的时候，你们必得那永不衰残荣耀的冠冕。有些冠冕，地上的冠冕很快就过去，但是有一个永远不衰残的，永远不衰的冠冕，荣耀的冠冕，乃是从神所给的。所以像使徒彼得保罗他说他已经把那个地上这个仗，他已经该打的仗都已经打完了，他到神的面前，他要得到那冠冕。一样的，今天我们的服事的态度和奖赏也需要如此。好，那我们读了这许多的原则，或者是知道服事的内容、对象、态度、奖赏，那我们在我们的神的家中，我们是该如何呢？我们知道最近我们有许多的改变，或者是许多的变迁，那我们有许多的同工会，或者是许多的聚会，我们希望就是教会能够更有次序，更多人能够参与这服事。所以我们看一下我们在我们家中神是怎么样做治理的工作。我们看一下我们这个教会的执事是怎么样。第一个，我们是有一个崇拜组，有些崇拜组，有些弟兄们在那边服侍，在那边就是把谁是负责是这个星期或者是下星期的讲台，或者是我们的主题是该集中在什么地方这个是一个敬拜小组敬拜小组里面，我们刚刚就是看到说是有一个是谁是来做分享的，这是一个一起团队，我们觉得阿们的话，我们就一起就是如此的安排，或者是对领会也是一样，领会也是一样，就是也是一个团队，大家 有提名或者是祷告，我们就觉得是我们现在已经预备好，我们可以一起参与这服事，这也是一个团队，这是领会大家一起的服事。还有就是圣餐呢，圣餐就是上主日我们有圣餐，那是怎么样的安排？这也是就是我们团队大家一起在这边在神的面前做服事秉杯的事情。还有呢，敬礼，上主日我们有敬礼，这些敬礼是如何的安排呢？我们也是需要在这方面，我们也是有同工 如果您看到就是这些需要need coordinator 还是什么需要服侍的，我们也可以继续参与这方面。敬拜组以外还有什么小组呢？我们教会里面我们看到有团契的小组 the fellowship 或是 cell group， 我们周五的时候或者是周间我们都有在各处有聚会的时候，这些是如何的安排调配，我们在哪边聚会，或者是我们查考一些什么经文，这些都是也是教会的执事方面，我们需要在这边就是有清楚跟弟兄姐妹们也能够有做这些带领的工作。宣道呢，我们也是有特别在宣道方面，我们要扶持一些传道人，或者是从我们当中出去的这些弟兄姐妹们。周三晚上我知道就是我们扶持的苏寇姐妹，她应该会带中国的一家球员会回来，那她说她今天会到，我说今天主日会不会到，主日到的话你来这边做见证最好，因为我们人最多，但是她说她赶不到，她可能今天下午还是晚上她才会到，但是她礼拜四就走了，所以带着这一家球员好像有先生跟太太还有两个男孩都蛮小的，那他们会来我们当中做见证。那么想一下，我们想可能是周三晚上是最好了，周三我们有一个祷告会可以来这边做见证，所以如果他今天到了跟我们再仔细联系的时候，我会跟大家就是发出通知，看看什么时候是最好，那时间是怎么样现在是大概是周三晚上他会回来，所以这是宣道方面。那还有呢，主日学方面我们是需要就是主日学，我们刚刚已经上过主日学，或者英文现在他们的主日学他们在旁边那边进行，所以这个也是都是要安排调配，或者是主日学的内容我们也都需要就是在神家中如何照管神的家。财务呢，财务也是一个非常重要的，财务就是我们都有负责的弟兄在这边写财务方面，而且重要的决定呢就是需要就是有一些团队或者是带领的弟兄的能够参与这些做最后的决定。财务很多时候就是不是一个人他们做的决定，而是如果重要的话就是参与到就是带领方面。总务呢，总务也是一个很需要，我们看到外面我们油漆刚刚漆完是不是，它里面我们还要再洗地毯啊，还是里面要油漆等等等，这些都是总务的事情现在就是以前都是有一位弟兄他在负责，那这位弟兄他可能是现在是会挪到是最后一个是行政方面的负责，所以我们也需要在总务方面也需要有人参与。所以我们看到就是这个整个教会这许多的执事，在神在这边过去兴起的执事，他也需要我们继续能够把这执事能够在教会里面不只是能够做得好，而且能够传下去 OK， 所以能够新的一代能够起来就是照管神家的事情。感谢主让我们能够在这边聚会，这个教会已经有许多的年日，刚开始我们是在Rock Hill 那边住一个地方，我记得是主日下午就是等美国人聚完会以后我们才能够聚会，慢慢的神也帮我们找了一个地方很舒适的地方在这边多年来我们在这边我们有许多的聚会，也是看到许多人的信主，也是从这边出去的许多的弟兄姐妹出去服侍，求主继续让我们看到主的意象在这边是如何的带领，如何的能够在这边造就圣徒，让我们能够在这边彼此的配搭。我们都不晓得我们在堪城会多久，是不是？哎呀，我们现在工作换得好快哈。有些时候我们同事就说拜，他要走了，我都吓一跳。怎么都是这样子。什么时候又新来同事，我都不认得了，就开始了，对，都是这样。好，我们今天我们来做一个结论，从提摩太前书里面我们看到保罗他特别在这边提醒提摩太，就是 讲到监督执事的事情。那我们又回到刚刚我们所读的照管神家，我们刚刚开始读以弗所书四章十一节的时候，他特别讲到他所赐的有使徒，有先知，有传福音的，有牧师和教师。牧师和教师有时候就是一组，是一个 category 一组。所以使徒我们看到这些跟随主耶稣的包括使徒保罗也是被主所光照。先知我们知道，先知都是在旧约，新约里面先知可能只是到使徒约翰为止了。那传福音的这些也是很重要，或者是教师和牧师跟教师。那这些我们看到，我们如果有神家中如果能够如此彼此的配搭，有同工出来，能够大家能够彼此的扶持照管神的家的时候，神家能够进功用的时候的光景是怎么样的，我们能够思考。第一个，我们回到刚刚我们所读的以弗所书四章十二节，圣徒能够被成全。在这边神他要在我们时间，我们在堪城的地方，他要成全我们，或短或长。有人在这里待两年，有人可能是待十年、二十年，更多的三十年。张弟兄更久，很多的时间在这边，神要在这边成全他的圣徒。神也要在这边是怎么样呢？让我们能够加增我们的事工。神要我们能够看到神他在这个地方有什么托付。我们不是只在这边聚聚就散散就完了，我相信我们都在这边看到神在这边有什么样的事工，神在这边要兴起我们。那有些事工已经结束了，那也可以，那我们就开始就有新的事工事工的加增。还有呢，教会被造就，整个教会是一个监灯台，是一个见证。人家来看城的地方，是不是他们愿意就是来我们当中能够一起在这边赞美敬拜，就是神的教会在这边被造就。而且我们在这末后的世代，特别许多错误的教导，我们很喜欢听的那些似是而非的这些或者是教导，我们很喜欢去学习。但是神要我们能够在真道上能够站立得稳。周五晚上我们在查经的时候，我们有许多宝贵的这些交通非弟兄还有其他弟兄都提出很多这些错误的教导，要我们谨慎。所以这些我们希望我们都能够在真道上能够站立得稳，而且希望信心能够得以长进，信心能够得以长进。信心好像是一个会增长，这个信心会增长很多时候我们刚信主的时候，我们可能是就是一个很小的一个信心，但是我们愿意跨出一步的时候，神他把他的信心加添给我们，让我们能够在他里面更多的能够长大，更多的能够像他的样式。而且呢，个体能够进功能，我们知道神给我们每一个恩赐都不一样有些他会诗歌会弹琴，有些他会教导，有些他会做关怀的工作，有些他会做其他的事工，或者是他很会做这些 administrative work 行政方面的。神要把我们放在一起，我们要看别人比自己强在这边我们能够彼此的配搭，这是一个个体进功用。而且呢，也要联络的合适，不是自己做自己的，这边要在我们要一起要联络的合适。在这边人家一进来一看就知道，哇，这教会是一个次序的一个家，什么家。然后我们看到神的名能够在这边得彰显。最后一个呢，我可以想到就是我们希望看到是神的身体可以增长，我们人数可以增加。这个是一个教会照管神家有一个很重要神的托付，我们不是停在我们当中，我们需要把这福音传给我们周围的人。神给我们各样的机会都不一定，我们如何或者是我们的同事，或者是我们的朋友，或者是我们的学生，或者是我们的邻居，很多时候我们看到就是这些需要福音的人，我们都知道在神家中我们当如何的行在的时候我们也是需要就是彼此的代祷，让神的家能够再次的被兴旺，再被眺望起来。
很多时候我们所亏欠的，也求主赦免，也让我们能够上主啊，让神让我们看到神在这神的家中有什么新的事工，我们需要起来，或者是其他事工我们比较弱的，我们需要去加强，求主让他自己能够在家中彰显，身体能够继续的长大，好不好？让我们一起低头祷告。恩主，我们实在是感谢你，主借着这使徒的书信里面劝勉提摩太在以弗所的教会里面当如何的行，主让我们今天也是能够学习到这功课。主，我们感谢你，你所赐的有使徒先知，有这传福音的，有牧师和教师，不一样的职责，不一样的职分，但是却在主你自己的家中我们能够配搭在一起。主，我们仰望你，主让我们在这边也是能够看到主你在治理主你自己的家，也让主让我们这些服侍，每一个服侍的人都能够也是有对的态度在你的面前，也是看到主你自己在这边所要经营的是如何。主，让我们能够知道主你自己的家是需要主你自己的同在，也是需要主你自己的祝福，也让我们能够顺服在你的面前。主，让我们彼此的配搭联络的合适，让主你自己的家能够慢慢的增长。主，我们感谢你，献上我们感恩赞美祷告祈求，都是奉靠主耶稣基督宝贵的名，阿们。
感谢主，今天把他自己的呼召来向我。